And now it's time for The Barbershop. That's where we gather a group of interesting folks to talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, Drew Elan. She served in the Environmental Protection Agency under President Obama. She's founder of the Elan's Group, a consulting firm now. Next to her is NPR's very own news editor, Ahmad Omar. They're both here with me in our D.C. studio. Hello.
Hello.
And from Madison, Wisconsin, we're joined by Mario Loyola. He's a senior fellow at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a contributing editor at the National Review. You, a Barbershop regular. Mario, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, Michelle.
So let's start off today with, okay, still election year, with the presidential election. We just heard Donald Trump give what was billed as his closing argument. And this past week, the major party nominees met for their final debate in Las Vegas. And also this week, they met in New York for the annual Al Smith Catholic Charities dinner. Here's what Hillary Clinton saying, what's surely on a lot of people's minds.
Now, some of my critics, and I hear that too, yeah. They think I only say what people want to hear. Well, tonight that is true. And here's exactly what you want to hear. This election will be over very, very soon.
Just about 2 weeks to be precise. So I just wanted to ask you all, what's on your mind as we head into this home stretch? Drew, why don't you start?
There are a couple of things that have been weighing on my mind. I'm just really shocked by, I won't say shocked, the revelation about how reality TV and social media has shaped this type of election cycle where you have someone who is a reality star that is the part of a major party. And it makes me think about, you know, how I'm raising my child in this technology age and how do I make sure that he really continues to stay in the books and all that stuff and really reading and expanding his knowledge beyond 140 characters. And I think the other part of that is just the explosion of how do I raise my child in a place where you already knew from SAE and all these other things about how racism and race is in our country and how we have so far to go where there's a lot that has changed, but there's a lot that's the same. And it's a little disheartening. And I'm wondering how are we going to heal as a country really after this? Because I feel yucky right now. I feel really, really yucky. Like just stuff is just still left on me. So I just really can't wait till November 9th. But then I really want to see how we're going to heal and come together.
Mario, what about you? You know, I was wondering, and obviously you can talk about whatever you want here, but I was also wondering as a Republican, do you worry about how the party is going to heal itself after all this is over?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've got some issues in the Republican Party now. It's like being, the party is like being crushed in this terrifying vice between the forces of Trump and the forces of never Trump. And you know, and people are starting, and you know, the cleanup is going to start after November 9th. In some ways, whichever way the election goes, the hard part is really going to start after November 9th. I mean, we have people already in the never Trump camp that are coming up with blacklists of, you know, major establishment Republican Party officials and promising not to forgive the fact that they endorsed Trump and so forth. And that kind of recrimination is, you know, exactly how we got Trump in the first place, right? Because it was this kind of recrimination that ends up killing the legitimacy of establishment mainstream politicians to the point where it's like not respectable to be a respectable politician anymore. And so that's a problem. I just hope that Republicans can drop the recrimination and get in a mood of optimism and reconciliation because we're really going
to
need it.
Well, they're not threatening to put each other in jail at this point, though, are they?
Well, no, but you know, they're not threatening to send people to the guillotine either, but that's only because we don't have guillotines.
Well, I hear you. Ahmad, what about you? What are you thinking about these last 2 weeks?
Well, similar to kind of what Mario was saying, you talked about the kind of the gap between the never-Trumpers and the pro-Trump people. I'm kind of watching some of the politicians trying to thread that needle between the never-Trump and the pro-Trump. You know, the Republican Party right now, to me, it seems like it's one party almost in name only. We've got these two separate factions that are equally powerful. And, you know, election season, politicians usually are kind of clamoring to talk to the media, get on the air as much as possible. You're seeing a lot of Republicans in these swing states. They're kind of between a rock and a hard place. You know, if they come on and we ask them about Trump, you know, if they say something something against Trump, that's going to get them in trouble with one part of their party. If they come out for Trump, that's going to get them in trouble with some other folks. So it's interesting to see that kind of threading of the needle. I think Mario is in that sort of space as well right now, maybe more free to talk about his feelings than some of these elected officials. And then after the election, you know, we've seen this kind of developing since 2010, since the Tea Party movement really started. Now it's kind of manifested itself in this from the local level to the national level, and kind of seeing again, is there going to be a reconciliation of this Republican Party, or are we going to see a more out-and-out split? And that's kind of what I'm watching right now.
I can't wait to see what happens when this is over. In fact, I'm really interested if there will be people who will emerge as playing that role, who will see themselves as leadership in forging that kind of reconciliation, whether it's racially, like you talked about, Drew, or whether it's just the idea of how, as a society, we talk to each other, whether we talk to each other politically. I really
and
like
even
to
on
see
the
that.
Issues, there are some major gaps. You know, we look at Donald Trump today, just kind of came out and said he wants to pull us out of NAFTA. You know, this was a policy that mainstream Republicans backed up for a long time, and now there's this populist part of the party that says this is not for us. So I think beyond that, there's more too.
Well, let's go on to you know what? I want to skip one. I'm going to go right to football. Just in the time that we have left. Okay. And if we have time, we'll talk about, you know, one other kind of controversy that's brewing. Because where would it be fall without a football controversy? And I know this is not as serious as the election, but, you know, I think, you know, still important.
It depends on who you ask,
right? So we're talking about the increasingly tough penalties that have been doled out in recent weeks by the NFL against players for engaging in excessive celebration, things like end zone dances and quote-unquote choreographed demonstrations. And I just want to play a breakdown of unsportsmanlike conduct as described by Dean Blandino, the senior vice president of officiating at the NFL.
The ruling on the field here is a touchdown, and you'll watch number 85. He's going to shoot the football over the goalpost, mimicking a basketball action. That's using the ball and the goalpost as a prop. That's a violation of the rule. You can't dunk the ball over the goalpost, shoot the ball, finger roll. All of that is illegal.
Illegal, Ahmad. Did you hear me
Good
with that?
Heavens.
Which is
How
why they
they
call it the No Fun League.
All right.
But, well, so anyway, Ahmad, the people who say that they think that they're cracking down on this, they're not making it up, right?
No.
So what's this about?
Yeah, the commissioner kind of acknowledged it. The Players Association acknowledged it as well. The commissioner kind of has the, the authority to kind of talk about which rules they want to emphasize, and that's a rule that they're really emphasizing this year. The Players Association is not happy about it because there are fines being doled out. And, you know, I think this is one thing maybe Republicans and Democrats and no matter what wing you're with can agree that, you know, people are having fun. I think generally speaking, people think the NFL is going too far on this one. Let the guys have
Well, let's
fun.
Ask Mario. Mario, what do you think?
Well, you know, just in general, I sometimes worry that the civilization is going to collapse under the weight of 20 million pointless rules. But you know, and here we have an attempt to like legislate and regulate sportsmanlike conduct, which I kind of understand because, you know, this is a time of vulgarization of our society. And, you know, you've got Colin Kaepernick and people doing things that would have been considered unsportsmanlike before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a Green Bay Packers fan, obviously, we don't have any issues with sportsmanlike conduct at the Green Bay Packers.
The Lambeau Leap is totally legitimate.
Right. The Lambeau Leap is the whole point of football. Right?
Yeah, we heard. Well, Drew, I don't know. What about this? Because there are a few, you know, I was looking at some of the comment boards about this, which I generally don't do because so many times they just devolve into just the kind of vulgarity that we're talking about. But there are people who've said, well, you know what? I'm an athlete, and I do think it invites retaliation. I think people should just, you know, play the game and leave it on the field. And what about the kids? So I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I'm thinking, are the football players that sensitive that if somebody scored and they decided to do a dance
or
a salsa
a football
or throw a football that will require retaliation? I mean, it must mean that there's some growing up that needs to be done, right? I mean, if you're crying over this, really, you're making millions of dollars. You're mad because somebody scored on you. Get back in the game and take the ball the next time.
But,
it's not about
true.
Retaliating, right? I mean, I feel like sometimes we get so worked up over things that if somebody's dancing, they're celebrating. What's wrong with celebrating that you made it? right? What's wrong with that? I mean, maybe because my child only plays flag football, so there's no real contact. But he's excited when he's made a touchdown. He's not.
But hopefully he's not twerking.
He's not twerking.
In
you
the
know,
end zone.
He's
apparently
like, yes.
Twerking is something else that has been
right.
That has been banned. I don't know, Mario. Right. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I was gonna say that this is like also the age of victimism, right? I mean, this is everyone's got. We teach in our university. Students go to Yale University to learn how they can have theories of how they were victimized in order to control other people and silence them, right? I mean, so this victimism.
I think
as,
that your friends at Yale would disagree with you on this, right, that that's what they're learning. But
I don't know. That's what makes it to the videos. I'm about to spike my headphones. That's all.
Exactly.
I'm about to say he's going to spike his headphones. All right. Do I have time for one more question, really briefly? There's a debate happening at the UN. It's not about climate change or the refugee crisis. This is about Wonder Woman. It seems that the comic book heroine was named an honorary UN ambassador for the empowerment of women and girls for gender equality. And Ahmad, I understand that some folks at the UN are not pleased.
Yeah, I mean, the official UN folks say this is to spread awareness and raise the profile for this program they have going on. Some of the rank and file people at the UN I spoke with said there were a lot of raised eyebrows. There's a lot of water cooler chatter, especially among the women who said that they can do better. And this, the over-sexualized cartoon image is not really what they're looking for.
I understand there was even like a demonstration, though, wasn't
there? Demonstration during the official kind of presentation, and there was a petition that's been signed by a lot of people there.
Drew?
I never thought Wonder Woman was over sexualized, and I grew up knowing her. So I was like, it's honorary. I'm not even understanding what kind of weight she would have as an honorary UN ambassador,
she's got
powers.
So,
right?
Drew, basically, Wonder Woman is your Halloween costume. Is that what you're telling
us? Uh-huh.
You're okay with it.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay. All right. That's Ahmad Omar, Mario Loyola, and Drew Elans all with us in the barbershop. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.